In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, in the epistle today, it's one of the longest epistles of the year, so I'll have a short sermon. I'd just like to begin reviewing. The last 2 weeks, we discussed why we believe that our Lord is truly present in the Holy Eucharist, His body, blood, soul, and divinity, and the miracle that takes place during Mass transubstantiation, where the whole substance of the bread and wine is completely changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It's very important that we believe it, and then also that we live according to our beliefs. And I remember a few years ago, I was teaching First Communion class, and I just wanted to see if the children really understood. So right before Mass, I waited in the back, and I was watching these children who were going to make their First Communion. And then they genuflected very reverently, and then they went to their place and knelt down. Okay, they were ready. It wasn't just in their mind. They weren't just answering questions like a parrot. They understood that Christ is truly present here. So it's very important that we also, it doesn't just go in our mind, but in our daily actions, that we truly believe that when we're praying in the church, that Christ is truly present. When we receive Holy Communion, we really receive Christ Himself. So it's just a few short, very short sermon, but we might ask ourselves, how is our Lord present in the Holy Eucharist? During the consecration, the most sacred part of the Mass, Jesus Christ is truly, really, and substantially contained under the outward appearances of bread and wine. In other words, He's present whole and entire, His body and His soul, His flesh and His blood, His whole humanity and His whole divinity. This is clear from what our Lord said in the institution of this holy mystery. This is my body. That is to say, this which I hold in my hands at the Last Supper is the same body of flesh with which you see me clothed, the same body that I have borne for 33 years, the very body that shall be tomorrow nailed to the cross. Moreover, as in Him the human nature was inseparably united to the divine, He Himself, His whole humanity and divinity, was contained under the outward appearance of bread and wine. How is this possible? By the almighty power of God. God created heaven and earth out of nothing and miraculously formed the God-man Jesus Christ in the virginal womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Is it not just as easy for Him to change bread into His body, wine into His blood? When Christ said, "This is my body, this is my blood," the substance of the bread and wine was indeed changed into His body and blood. Of the bread and wine, nothing remained but the accidents. That is, the size, shape, weight, color, taste, and all else that can be perceived by the senses. All these are variables as seen by the multitude of types of bread and wine. They're still called bread, but there's different types of bread. Wine, it's wine, but there's different types of wine. They are not what make up the essence of bread and wine. This mysterious change worked by Christ is called transubstantiation. I'll illustrate the difference between substance and accidents as follows. I hold a bar of iron in my hand. It has a certain size, shape, weight, color, and hardness. None of these things make it iron, not its size or shape, for clearly it may change in either respects and still be iron. Not its weight, for its weight depends on gravity and varies according to the distance from the center of the earth. In fact, it's conceivable that at a certain point outside the earth, it may lose all weight, such as in the space station. You've seen it's weightless and you see things floating around. Nor its color, for that changes with the temperature. Under moderate heat, it will become red, and under intense heat, a glowing white. Nor its hardness, for when it's cast into the furnace, it becomes a liquid. If then, it's not iron because of size, shape, or hardness, etc., what is it that makes it iron? It is its substance. The substance remains fixed among many changes. It's an unchangeable thing. With every change in the iron bar, there's a corresponding change in the molecules in which it consists. Yet each molecule, though all the changes, through all the changes it suffers, continues to be iron. As in the entire bar, so in each molecule, there is an unchanging thing that we call substance. Substance is not a hard or heavy thing. It's something invisible, having the power to support the accidents. It's something like a soul which cannot be grasped by the senses, but by the mind alone. And like the soul, it is present in its entirety in every part, however small, of the body to which it belongs. Thus it is the substance, not the appearance of bread and wine, which is changed into the substance, not the appearance of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Sadly, post-Vatican II, non-traditional Catholics, and many others look upon the Holy Eucharist as mere bread and wine, symbolizing our Redeemer's body and blood. In effect, these people are saying that the Son of God, by making statements that he did not really mean, this is my body, this is my blood, etc., has deceived his followers for over 2,000 years. I'll just close with a final story regarding reverence to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Many years ago, a young Portuguese man traveled to India to seek his fortune. A few years later, he returned to Europe, laden with great wealth. When he returned, the man decided to play a trick on his relations. Disguised in old clothes, he visited his cousin Peter, claiming relationship, and asked for accommodation. Not recognizing the rich man, the cousin refused lodging and told him to leave. Wearing his disguise, the wealthy Portuguese man visited three of his former friends. His poverty-stricken appearance caused them to send him away. Little did they know that under those tattered garments, a wealthy man was concealed. Soon afterwards, he went back to his ships, dressed in costly attire, and followed by a multitude of servants, purchased a magnificent estate in the very heart of the city. The people of the town were amazed at his great wealth and lordly retinue. How ashamed were his former friends who had refused to offer aid. They said, had we known this before, we would have acted much differently. In closing, this story is analogous to what takes place between many Catholics and our Lord, who is hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus Christ is silently enclosed in the tabernacle, his humble home. Only on very rare occasions has Christ displayed his heavenly glory and brightness as he remains concealed under the appearances of bread and wine. Like the rich man in the story, our Redeemer will come again in glory at our judgment, at the end of the world, and the general judgment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.